I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net, and I'm speaking with Mike Journey. He's telehealth systems manager for GCI, and he's joining us from Anchorage, Alaska. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great. Now, I want to talk to you about your being named a master of IT, and I want to ask you first off about the area in which you work, which is telemedicine. What does telemedicine encompass?
Telemedicine is used up here in Alaska specifically for getting out to remote villages so that we can have small clinics consult with specialists at regional hospitals or even in Anchorage here where the main hospital. And they do that via video conferencing so they can see the patient or see the injury and help in those manners.
And this kind of telemedicine has been going on for some time without the assistance of GCI or deployment of the Junipers network. So how has it been done in the past?
Well, in the past, they would basically get on the phone or they would do it remotely or have the doctors fly out or have the patient fly in back to a regional hospital so they can get the proper care. With the advent of telemedicine and before the deployment of the Juniper IP accelerators, it was fairly problematic to get a good video signal out and back again, because the applications that they use to record patient data and things like that would be slow and cumbersome, and it would be very difficult for them to do that.
And so you were given the charge of upgrading the network and making this telemedicine more effective, essentially.
Correct.
And what kinds of barriers did you face? I mean, you are in Alaska, and these are some pretty far-flung places, so I imagine terrain is one of the barriers you would have dealt with?
Yeah, these villages that are out in the remote areas of Alaska have very little infrastructure. They're, you know, ranging from 200 people to 700 people, and there's no roads into these places, so you can get to them via snowmobile or dog sled in the wintertime, and in the summertime, you either hike in, or most of these places have an airport, so they'll have a small bush pilot fly in. So it's very difficult to bring in infrastructure, so we do everything over satellite. And because of that, with the round-trip delay time, the satellite being in geosynchronous orbit at 23,000 miles out, there's quite a bit of latency on the network. And we were looking for something that would alleviate the latency.
So I would imagine in the course of deploying this that were you getting on snowmobiles and going out to some of these remote locations yourself?
Yeah, actually not snowmobiles, but I've flown into most of the villages here in Alaska. You know, small six-passenger planes. So it got interesting at times.
So you're dealing with some issues that most people who are in your position don't necessarily have to deal with, and you're given the charge of deploying this network. Obviously, satellites are pretty much your only option at this point. And as you said, latency is a huge problem. So how do you deal with that? And perhaps you could give us an example of specifically some of the telemedicine that was going on and how you specifically dealt with the issues with those remote locations.
Well, I'll pick on one hospital that we have out in Dillingham. It's a regional hospital, and it's connected to 27 remote clinics in villages scattered all over the Bristol Bay area. And each of these villages have airports, but they don't have any roads, and they have very little infrastructure. So there's a clinic in each one of these villages, and there's a trained nursing aide or a clinician there that can do all the basic stuff. But when the time comes for specialty treatment, then they have a cart there with a video camera on it and a small TV monitor, and the video camera can be remotely controlled from the hospital. And so a specialist at the hospital connects up to the camera, looks at the patient, asks the questions, focuses in the camera on a wound, for instance, or whatever is necessary to do to help diagnose what the patient is. Now, the problem with that is that when you have such high latency, then that becomes problematic.
Now, when we talk about high latency, what kind of times are we talking about with satellite?
Satellite is generally about 700 to 750 milliseconds on a good day. It can be longer. It's just a matter of physics. I mean, you're going to have a 700 millisecond delay no matter what you do. However, with the Juniper IP accelerators, so what we do is we alleviate the effects of that delay. And we do that with a feature called TCP acceleration, which works quite well for our applications.
Now, as you say, there's an inherent delay just given the 23,000-mile journey that the signal makes up to the satellite and then back down again. How do the accelerators then defy the laws of physics, essentially? What kinds of things do they do that make it so this latency is not a problem?
Well, one of the things about the TCP protocol is that it has this feature called TCP slow start, which is basically programmed into the protocol. And CCB Slow Start is available, and you can Google it and look up on a wiki if you want more information about it. But what the Juniper IP accelerators essentially do is they spoof the cameras, or they spoof the servers and clients on each end of the link into thinking that they are talking to something local, which they are. They're talking to the IP accelerators. And so the IP accelerators essentially act as proxies for the other end of the circuit. And then what the IP accelerators do is they bundle up that TCP traffic and feed it into essentially a pipe between the accelerators and fill that pipe, unlike what a computer can do. With TCP slow start, a computer can never fill a complete T1, for instance. But the IP accelerators can. And so they make much more efficient use of the bandwidth.
And your client's been pretty happy with the results?
They have been very happy, and I can give you an example of that. We have a client down in the Eastern Aleutian area that when we put these IP accelerators in, he wasn't convinced that the accelerators were doing what we said they were doing. And so I set up a test, and I turned off the IP accelerators, and I had him transfer from a server a really large file via FTP. And we timed it. It took about 7 minutes to transfer the file. And we then turned the IP accelerators back on. I had him transfer the file again, which primed the IP accelerators. And then the third time he transferred it, his response was, wait a minute, something's wrong. And I said, what? And he says, that was too fast. And I said, well, delete the file and try it again. And so he deleted the file on his client, tried it again, and the file came across in about 2 seconds. Well, what that really meant was is the IP accelerators had the data dictionary built up on both sides, and it copied it not from the remote side but from the local side, which made it about 2 seconds in time.
If he's thinking that the fact is that it's not working properly because it went so quickly, then you've done your job, I suppose.
Exactly.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of satisfaction in a job well done in general and the kind of work you do, but there has to be some special satisfaction in knowing that as a result of deploying this, that people in what sound like really remote locations are getting specialized medical care in a way that they never could have even a short time ago.
Yes, it's very satisfying, especially when you hear from the clinicians that they've solved a difficult pregnancy or there was a particular nasty snowmobile accident and somebody got patched up correctly, all because of the video conferencing and talking to a specialist back in the regional hospitals.
Well, Mike, thanks for taking some time out today and talking to us, and congratulations once again on being named a Master of IT from Juniper.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mike Journey is Telehealth Systems Manager for GCI.